Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. It may be cold and freezing out there, but we'll make sure to keep you warm with plenty of good Saturday selections. Recording this on Thursday afternoon, we're still not fully sure what the weather picture is going to be and what we're going to see, but we will be dissecting the action at Warwick and Kempton, keeping our fingers firmly crossed we get to see a really good day of jumps action. Joining me to look over the weekend's racing in the top right, if you're watching along, is Lambourne correspondent Liam Head. Bottom left, Keith Melrose. And as always, the bottom right from Unibet, Ed Nicholson. Great to have you all on the show. And let's get straight into the action at Warwick. It's their big day. As we say, we're still waiting for confirmation as to whether it'll go ahead. So keep an eye on the ratingpost.com for all the latest weather news for not just for Warwick and Kempton, but of course for all the action over a very cold January. We're going to start with the 1:15, the Warwick Castle Handicap Chase, where at the top of the betting is Moon Phases for Lucinda Russell and Michael Scudamore. That is a 4-1 chance. Pepe Lomoco 11-2, Rule Me In 13-2, along with A Great Excuse. Jack Black is 15-2, Bank on Frank 9-1, Carrigmore Roan at 11-1, along with Laguila Beer and Gold Relic. A bit of money for this one at 12-1, along with Ultra D's. Keith, let's bring you in to start. What do you like in our opener?
It's an interesting race because it's not a novice handicap, even though like most of the field, certainly all the top end of the market, are all novice chasers. You know, it is an interesting. I mean, Phases is the sort of horse that's going to thrive even over further potentially. Pepe Lomoco is a better horse in this grade at his best, but it's all about whether he wants to do it. There's one that I thought was a bit interesting, a bit further down the betting, Jack Black. For Dad Skelton, who is bred to be a chaser and bred to be a chaser that will stay further than 2 miles. I watched his race at Bangor, his chasing debut, and he looks a big strapping sort that's going to get better as he goes over fences. And he was well beat that day, but you know it was his chasing debut. It was for experience as much as anything else. And the form between the first two, Jour d'Evasion and Passing Kate, they were also first and second in a race on Welsh National Day when they met again a few weeks later. And this horse, you know, is only rated 107, but he's got good form going back in bumpers. In fact, he was third in a bumper here, beating only 4 and a bit lengths by Bill Joyce, who won a Grade 2 novice hurdle last season. So he's got more than 107 ability. There is zero question in my mind. He's going to make a good chaser as well, you know, with Skelton, with that pedigree and with that build. So I think he's going to be 2 stone better than this potentially. It's whether he's ready enough to do it. So Jack Black, for me, you're getting a big enough price to allow for that.
Yeah, for the Coral Gold Cup winning connections of Dan Skelton and Tristan Darrow, of course, teamed up with Panic Attack. Ed, no sign of a Panic Attack from you, I hope. What's the winner here?
A similar profile for my horse, as just mentioned, but I'm going for Bank on Frank, who is from the brilliant stable of Ben Pauling. What a Christmas period he and his stable stalwarts had. And this horse has only had one run over fences, came second, Eyecatcher, to Force a Dead Heat, second at Fontwell. I think it'll be a better chaser than a hurdler, relatively inexperienced, 10-1. Or thereabouts. I thought he's definitely going to improve and be better than his handicap mark for today, which is rated 100, 11-4. So that was the one for me. It is a tricky race, though, as Keith has already pointed out. There are more than, you know, one or two in this race that fit that bill. Bank on Frank at double figure odds. And we are offering money back second or third in this race. So if your selection does come second or third, you will get your money back. Terms and conditions apply.
You can bank on that. And Bank on Frank is Ed's selection there at 9-1. And what's yours, Liam?
I like Pepe Lomoco for Jay Williams. Obviously won over course and distance on this card a couple of years ago. And I feel like he's starting to show the signs of returning to that similar level. I think he was a neck second at Ludlow the last day. I just think he jumps consistently throughout, and he just looks tailor-made to be a chaser. When he won at Warwick, he was running off a mark of 119. He's worked himself down to 112 now. And I just think there's a lot more improvement to come. And I think he can sort of go well at a track he seems to relish.
Yeah, okay, that's Liam's selection there. The Jane Williams trained Pepe Lamoco. We'll move on to the 152. We've got a bit of graded action for you and potentially some Cheltenham Festival clues along the way. This is the Hampton Novices Chase, where top of a betting is weighed out at 15-8. Of course, looking to repeat that quite remarkable win at Cheltenham earlier this season. He's 15-8. Moon Rocket for Kim Bailey and Matt Nichols at 5-2. Doyen Quest at 4-1. Lawrence Bay, 7-1. The Jukebox Kid at 8-1. And Holly Grove Chacha, another one in the race for Jamie Snowden at 12-1. Liam, we'll come straight back to you, our land ball man. Two runners for Jamie Snowden in here. Got any clues as to whether they could be a bit of each way value?
It's interesting because they've both shown obviously a good bit of form, certainly over hurdles. It's Hollygrove Chacha who I'm favouring out of the two Folly House runners. Obviously, as you mentioned, it's a really hot race, and you know there's only six runners, but you can certainly make a case for each of them. I just find it really hard to believe that Hollygrove Chacha is the sort of higher price out of the two and out of the whole field. You know, she was a tremendous performer over hurdles last year. She won a grade two. I think she won the Jane Seymour on the way to going to the Cheltenham Festival. Things didn't work out for her at the festival. But she seems to, I know for speaking to Jamie over sort of the last few months, he's always had the impression that she'd make a much better chaser than a hurdler. And I just think she's definitely shown that in two starts. She was... She finished third in the Colin Parker in November. She was finished close that day. I mean, it was a four in a field, but she was coming up against Handstands, who is already a grade one proven winner over fences, and Resplendent Grey, who won the Bet365 Gold Cup. So she did well to handle herself on her first time out into the bigger obstacles. She backed that up straight away with a smart win at Exeter next time out, albeit in a small field. But as I mentioned, she's got that class to sort of handle it at this level. And I think she's only going to get better with experience. The one interesting point I take from this is the fact that Gavin Sheehan has opted to choose Hollygrove Chacha over Lawrence Bay. Obviously, he's the stable jockey. So he's probably had some input on who he wants to ride in the race. So, yeah, interesting one for me, and I think she can run a good race at a big price.
She is the outsider of them all at 12-1. Ed, looks a competitive race. You think potentially we might see some clues going forward, potentially Wade out, one who could be an interesting novice for the springtime as well?
Yeah, I'm not too sure, to be honest. I think they all need to improve quite significantly to have a hand in the grade ones. But certainly from a grade two, grade three handicap point of view, yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they progress. I mean, this is still a novice, obviously, Chase, and it's a grade two and it is a good race in its own right. But there's no real standout performer in this race, I didn't think. And I was taken by the price for Doyen Quest. I thought 5-1... 4-1. I thought that was a bit big, given he's already 2-2 at Warwick. He's shown that he stays. I think three of his three victories have been over this sort of trip. And I thought he ran a really good race last time at Sandown. I was there that day when Salva beat him. Salva won easily, but he kicked on, he stayed on. And I thought that was not a bad performance, given the relative horses he has to take on here. So, yeah, Tristan Durrell's got plenty of confidence at the moment, riding some big race winners every Saturday, it seems, for the Skeltons. And the Skelton team's in great form. So I did think Doyen Quest was a bit big at 5-1, at 4-1. So that'll be my selection. I think you can take on the top two. And on official ratings, there isn't much between the three of them.
No, certainly not 4-1. Of course, there was a bit of 9-2 that was quickly snapped up, Ed. So maybe somebody's been looking at your notes and your selections. What finish us off, Keith. What's your verdict here?
Look at Wade out. I mean, yes, brilliant ride, blah, blah, at Cheltenham, but can you imagine a worse sort of horse for Warwick on that basis? Like, although I made this mistake with Grey Dawning 2 years ago, to be fair, I didn't think he would suit Warwick and he won half the track. His jumping really needed to sharpen up back then, and it did. But yeah, Wade out, he's lazy, and Warwick, they've got to jump five down the back, and yeah, you've got to speed up and slow down so many times. It's not going to suit him, I don't think. So I'll be after him. Doyen Quest, definitely see Ed's point. He was one that he should be shorter just because other ones so big. And he actually will, he should suit Warwick the way he goes about things. But there's one at a big price that I thought didn't really deserve to be such a big price, and it's the Jukebox Kid, who's got some really good form looking back. Chasing debut, he won at Carlisle over 2.5. He beat Grand Jest off 110. Now, Grand Jest is now rated £19 higher than that, and you might remember him as a horse that absolutely scooshed in a Tommy Whittle just before Christmas. So, you know, he's got that going for him. At Cheltenham last time, you know, he maybe a stiff 3 miles, 3 mile one at Cheltenham is a little bit far for him at this stage, and that is maybe a little bit of a concern. But, you know, he's won a 3 mile point to point on heavy ground at Tinnaghaley in Ireland, and he just has a, he's only a pound off weighed out on the weight adjusted Racing Post ratings, and he's 4 times the price. So it made a lot of sense to me as a bet.
Okay, the Jukebox Kid is Keith's selection. Our third race from Warwick is the 2.25. This is the William Hill Handicap Hurdle, a very competitive affair with Soldiers Leap, your favourite, at 5-1, Kelly Joe 11-2, Premier 6-1, Sea Warrior 13-2, Free Pikes 17-2, Dr. Waxman 10-1, along with Knight Templar, and at the Oki, you can tango 12-1, Runaway Joe 14. We'll come to you first this time, Ed. Very tricky contest. Have you got one for us at a good price, perhaps?
I've got one for you, but not particularly good price. I'm going for the favourite, Soldiers Leap, who won by just a length and a quarter. But I think you'll have to go a long way through the season to find an easier length and a quarter winner than Soldiers Leap last time out. He absolutely sluiced him. Jockey Jack Andrews was looking around from two out and was ever so confident on him. That was a second consecutive victory, albeit in class fives. He's gone from 94 to 97, and now he's on 108. So he does have to do something that he's never done before, which is win off this high mark. But just the way he did it, the impression that he gave at Utoxeter was that there's more to come. And although it is a competitive and a deep race, and he is 5-1 favourite, I just thought I was going to keep on with Soldiers Leap until he got beaten. And that means I've got to back him here because I think there's plenty more under the bonnet. And I wouldn't be surprised if he makes it three in the trot. There is an extra place in this race as well, which you probably would want if you're backing one of the outsiders.
Thank you very much. 5-1, Soldiers Leap for Ed. What's yours, Liam?
Sticking with the local trainers again. I think Warren Greychicks has got a smart horse in Premier. He's obviously been well featured on the flat, but I think he's really come into his own since sort of transferring over to hurdling. He's had four runs over hurdles now, and he's made a case for winning all four of them. He's only won one of them. That came at Taunton the last day. But, you know, he's got some decent form. He finished second behind One Horse Town on his hurdling debut at Kempton in October. And the form of that's worked out quite nicely. Obviously, One Horse Town went on and won the Grade Two at Cheltenham next time out. And I just, he did enough at Taunton the last day. Made a couple of mistakes, you know, that was probably just down to the lack of experience. But I think he should come on for that, and you know, go well for a yard who, like we mentioned about Ben Pauling, Warren Greychicks yard is doing tremendous things as of late. So I think he can go well. You know, it's a tough race, but he's got every chance.
Okay, Premier is Liam's selection. They're hoping to continue a great start to the 2026 4-1 Greatex. We move on to our feature race at Warwick. This is the William Hill Half a Mil Classic Handicap Chase, the 100 grand highlight, and potentially much, much more if anyone can go and follow up at Aintree in April. Your favourite is Myertown at 11-4. Can he bounce back from his disappointing fall at Newbury in the Coral Gold Cup? A Le Homme Press tops the weights at 7-2, along with Mr. Vango. Resplendent Grey for local trainer Ollie Murphy, 11-2. Val Dancer, the Welsh national hero, is 10-1. Destroy the Evidence and Joya Mashan, 11-1 as well. Nassalam, 18-1, looking to bounce back to form. And Torn Afraid, the outsider for Team Twist and Davis, at 25-1. Keith, nowhere else to start for these big handicap chasers and you. Talk us through the classic chase.
It's possible. I've got myself in a bit of a spin about Martin, and mostly on the riding plans, because there's obviously two jockeys in the Lucinda Russell, Michael Scudamore yard. Derek Fox has one way of riding, Patrick Wadge has another, and Myertown seems to suit Wadge's style more than Fox's, if I'm honest with you. Fox is only, he's, you know, was in front on him at Newbury, and he came down sort of halfway round and looked awfully like a hoy senor in those couple of gold cups where Fox did the same. But his only winner at Warwick, actually, from seven rides, was one for Arthur in this race. Again, a different sort of ride, more of a Fox sort of ride, one for Arthur, wasn't he? Much more patiently ridden. But ultimately, you can toss it around about jockeys all you want. Ultimately, there's a horse running in this race off 142 that I backed for the gold cup at 100-1. So I'm backing Meyerstown today, because if he does get in that rhythm out in front, in fact, if Mr. Vango runs, Jack Tudor might do Derek Fox a favour, because he'll give him something to aim at. Meyerstown, I think for me, if he is the horse I think he is, he will win.
Big statement there from Keith. Likes his chances in the Gold Cup at 100-1, potentially. Well, we'll see how he gets on the weekend. Meyerstown is your 11-4 favourite for the Classic Chase. Ed, are you with or against the favourite and why?
Well, if you think he's that class, you have to back him here off 142, don't you? I did read the comments in the Racing Post, which was interesting, and then thinking they've got a horse that could run in the Gold Cup and have a chance. But he has to improve a hell of a lot, as I'm sure Keith has indicated. And I like a horse who's already been there and done it. Lon Press came fourth in the Cheltenham Gold Cup in 2024 when he was rated about 168. He's still rated 162, is he? Something like that. And he seems to have kept his form well. He does like Cheltenham, I must admit. Before Keith tells me that, I'm pretty sure he's better horse at Cheltenham than he is elsewhere. But I thought he ran a really good race at the headquarters of National Hunt Racing last time out, when staying on up the hill to finish second. Venetia Williams seems to suggest in her comments to the Racing Post afterwards that she was umming and ahhing about whether to run him. And she did, and it came. She ran well. She's won this race before. Regardin du Beauchamp won it in 2013. It's kind of race that she does and would like with her types of horses. The ground should be good, which again might be a bit different from what Lompress likes, ideally. But he's still going well. That run showed that he's still a good horse. And Charlie Deutsch gets on particularly well with him. He's won 8 of the 15 times he's ridden him. He's only been unplaced 3 times on board him. And I can just see them getting into rhythm and coming there between the last two. So I thought, again, at the prices, I'd rather... I know he's got 12 stone. He is 11. He's very susceptible to an improving stayer, which Meyerstown is. But horses that fall don't have a great record the next time they run in chases. I did some analysis on it, and I mean, obviously, it all depends on the horse and how the horse falls and how quickly into the race the horse has fallen. But I'd rather be on a horse who's shown good form last time out than a horse that fell and is at half the price. So, yeah, I'm going to go for Lompress, but I wouldn't be surprised if Meyerstown wins this, I must admit, because he's obviously much better than his handicap mark. But, yeah, I'm going to go with the form in the book and Lompress.
Lompress, yeah, certainly looked at Cheltenham last time, Ed, as if he potentially might improve for this step up in distance. So we'll find out more on the weekend, but a huge ask off top weight. Liam, we've had two strong cases for Meyerstown and Lompress. Are you with any of them or against both?
Against both on this occasion, James. I think Resplendent Grey's been slightly overlooked, certainly in the market. I thought he'd be nearer the top. I know he's only around 9-2, but I think there's some value in that. You know, Ollie Murphy continues to sort of ride that crest of a wave this season. And, you know, this horse didn't really jump fluently in the Coral Gold Cup. I know he was going into that race as one of the leading players, but for whatever reason, he didn't jump to the levels that we've seen him do so before. Obviously, stamina is not an issue. He won the Bet365 Gold Cup at Sandown last season over a trip similar to this. So he's definitely got that staying credentials to really put up another effort. And I think the fact that he's had, a decent break since the end of November, I think will only enhance his chances. And again, when Sean Bowen's riding, you can never really look too far away from anyone else, really.
Yeah.
What did we make of that run though, Liam and Keith? I just couldn't work out that run at Newbury, because he should have run much better. Was he just his jumping, or was he?
He's always been a sticky jumper out the back. This horse, he's a horse that jumps sticky out the back. And when he won the Whitbreds, he was bounced out, wasn't he? He was much more prominent, and he jumped better. I don't think he's a great jumper generally, to be honest. And that's my worry about him at Warwick. But you know, he's just a horse that jumps sticky in rear, not for me here. But you know, he's clearly a massively talented animal.
Mm. Certainly is, yeah. As you say, it is a notoriously difficult jumping test, Warwick. So it's a fascinating race for lots of different reasons, lots of different races going on for the spring. Just as is our final race we're going to look at, particularly for one race in particular, this could be notable for. This is the Presents Network Handicap Hurdle, always a good qualifier for the big final, this one. So we'll see how this one plays out. Your favourite on Saturday, though, is Lador at 100-30 for the informed Tom Simmons yard. A long draw for Murphy and Byrne, 9-2. Tranquil Sea at 5-1. Lord Snooty, 15-2. Rubber Ball, 10s. Botox Has and Red Risk at 11. Spike Jones, 12s. And Domor Bay at 14s. We'll stop there and let Liam Head give us his selection.
Yeah, I just think it's obviously you've got to be quite tactical with these big races. You just, you know, you can make a case for a lot of them again. A long draw again for Ollie Murphy and Sean Bowen. We've not seen him really to the levels that we've seen him, you know, the last season. So three starts all at Cheltenham this campaign, but he's not really looked like the horse that we know he can be. Now he finished a close second to Guard the Moon at Warwick October last season. So I just think, you know, he needs a couple of runs to get going, I feel. And I guess they'll have a sort of a view with going back to Cheltenham with this horse, given his record at the track. And I think they just really need to get him winning again. I think if he can jump to the levels we've seen him, he should run a good race. And again, he's definitely one who has the stamina. So I think he can handle this test.
Okay, long draw for Liam. No selection from Keith Malratis, but I'm sure you have something for you up your sleeve, Brett. Ed, should I say?
I've never been embarrassed so much in my life.
I'm sure you have.
No, I agree. I've got a long draw, but he's my cliff horse. He really is. I keep on backing him and then not backing him when soft going. I do think he's a better ground horse. It's good ground at the moment there. I don't know what will happen with the weather, but that's what interested me at 7-1 off a mark of 136. So I've put down long draw, but I'm really interested come the festival whether he, you know, if he runs in the because he missed out last year, didn't he? He's balloted out by one, if my memory serves.
Yeah,
and I think that they would have that race. Well, I'm sure they have that race as a plan. So, I want a bat long draw at Cheltenham Festival. So I don't know whether it's good or not or bad if he wins today, but wins on Saturday. But yeah, I'll be looking at long draw off that way, given the ground. If it's soft ground, I'd be against it. But it's currently good ground. But it's a difficult race. We're super boosting every horse in the race. And I should have said about the Classic Chase, we are top industry price from noon, so that you won't get a better price anywhere else in the village. From noon, best price anywhere on the Classic Chase from midday on Saturday.
Thank you very much, Ed. And we will have a short break before we return to look at the action at Kempton. Okay, we are heading south and going to Kempton. As it stands, we're still hoping Saturday's meeting at Kempton goes ahead. Of course, lots of inspection news, so keep up to date with all of that via the Racing Post website. But we'll preview the action. Hopefully it goes ahead. And the 2:05 at Kempton is where we start. This is the Coral New Horse Racing Bet Builder Handicap Chase. A very competitive contest, but we have a 6-4 favourite in Welcome to the Cartries for the Paul Nicholls team with Soul Icon and the Doyen Chief in there at 3-1. Your Darling, 11-1. Who knows what to expect from this horse? Beachcomber at 12s, along with Sea Invasion. Liam, we've got a short price favourite in here. Does he win? Do we take him on?
No, I'm happy to take him on. I like the Doyen Chief. I think he's really fed pretty well over fences. I know last season he won two of his five, and he just really seems to enjoy these marathon trips. I think that the last day he was doing quite well. He didn't really get a chance in the Coral Gold Cup when he was running there. I know the start seemed to take a lot of people out, and he was one who didn't. I don't even think he got to jump one of the fences. I just think you can basically put a line through that performance. He was doing quite well the last day when he was running, and I just think there's a lot of improvement to come. I know that when he was running at Cheltenham, he was doing really well, but I think I think Tom Bellamy lost his iron after the last fence, and he probably should have done better than the finish position suggests. I think there's still plenty of ability of this horse, and I think again on good ground, I think he can go well. Obviously won, I think he won over this trip at Warwick over 3 miles last season. So I just think he deserves another chance, and I'm not seeing an awful lot from the favourite to sort of side with him, and I think the Doyen Chief out of the lot of them can be the one to take him on, really.
Okay, so the Doyen Chief, of course, had that nightmare at Newbury. Hopefully things go better for him at Kempton on Saturday. Compelling case there, Keith. Do you agree or disagree with Liam, though?
Yeah, absolutely do. I don't agree with Richard Russell, though, it turns out. Our crack analyst, I've just been reading back on the in-running comments on the Doyen Chief, his last two runs. We've got extremely awkward and lost many lengths start in the Coral Gold Cup, and we've got carried head awkwardly in weakened final 110 yards on his last run at Cheltenham. I thought he looked like he was just about... I mean, the winner was never getting caught, but he looked second best most of that race, didn't he, at Cheltenham, behind Blaze the Way. The winner was always looking really confident, but I thought he looked second best, but ended up finishing fifth. And yes, he does hang right up the hill. But that was his first time beyond 3 miles, really. And his form before that's really good. He's won over course and distance in the spring there. Looked a really progressive horse. He was one of my horses to follow for the season, actually, on the basis of what he did last spring. And on his reappearance, the only run he's had a really clear run at this season, he ran brilliantly. He was second to Deep Cave, miles clear with everything else. With Deep Cave, who obviously went on to win a Premier Handicap at Ascot next time. So everything's there for the Doyen Chief to run a big race, unless Richard's right and he's a dog. So I'm going to give him one more chance, though, and I'm going to go for the Doyen Chief.
Yeah, and of course, a very timely way I can bring in Deep Cave, of course, just before Christmas. Three of our team tipped him up at 11-1 for that big race, that big Saturday handicap at Ascot. So Deep Cave, just a reminder as to what the postcast can do. Ed, what's your selection here? The 205 at Kempton.
Well, I want to take on Welcome to Catteries. I think he's been disappointing. Was thought of as a graded horse earlier in his career over fences, but he hasn't really kicked on. Struggled last time out to beat a 1-2-2 horse, and I think I'd just be looking to take that one on. If I was going to choose one, it'd be my old favourite, Your Darling, who I backed. Last time I backed this horse was 18 runs ago when he won his debut, about this time in 2020. When he won a bump with Nico de Boinville on board at 9-2, beating Flinta Sacra. And I've loved him ever since because he landed a bit of a touch for me. I think he was well gambled that day, if I remember rightly. Big whisper from the yard. If I remember rightly, I might have that wrong. But I've followed his career ever since. And, you know, he came fourth of four last time out, which you wouldn't think would be a great advertisement for his chances here, but he obviously I'd have thought he needed that run. His run before that was probably one of his better ones over fences at Uttoxeter. I love the way he travels. I've always got a soft spot for him. He's your darling, but he's my darling, so I'm going to back him again. And I think he's quite a fair price as well. He's ran about 11-1, so I'm quite happy to choose him here in a race where I think the favourite definitely can be taken on. Soul Icon and the Doyen Chief, they've got chances, yes. But I'll go with Your Darling because it's double the odds of those. And we do offer a super boost in this race as well.
Yep, we move from one Paul Nicholls train favourite to another in the highlight here at the Grade 2 contest at Kempton, the 240, the Coral Silver and Yarko Conti Chase, of course, named after another brilliant star for Paul Nicholls. And it's Calif de Burleigh. First start since that disappointing run in the Halden Gold Cup. He is 8-2-11 in a four-runner contest. Edward Stone at 7-2, Boom Bourne at 5-1, and Master Chewy at 6-1. Keith, Calif de Burleigh, odds on here. Is that worth taking on? What's your verdict on this horse, as not just on Saturday, but as a prospect going forward?
Well, he's odds on for plan B, which is probably telling you plenty straight out the gate. I mean, I liked him last season as a novice, was really impressed by his Maggle win, but, you know, that... And the Haldon Gold Cup has worked out really well between Thistleask and St. Segal, but ultimately this horse was beaten 23 lengths. He was back that day, very disappointing. He's not been seen in 9 weeks since, and now he's gone up in trip, having looked been a champion chase type in prospect. It's a funny old way to campaign a horse. I suggest that not everything's gone swimmingly. And to be honest, his form doesn't stand out to the extent his price suggests anyway. So he's just there to be taken on for me. Edward Stone's old enough to vote. So I thought Boom Bourne, who's got very similar level of form to Calif de Burleigh, was a smashing price at 6-1. He's cut it with really good horses. He ran in that Gaelic Warrior race, the Oaksey Chase at Sandown in April there, and he travelled along with really good horses for a long way and just got outclassed up the hill at Sandown. And he was fourth in the old draw and not beaten far at all off a mark of 153 on his reappearance. Now, yes, the Peterborough was disappointing, but that aside, you've got a horse here who has shown it this season, who before the start of this season was looking like he could be up to grade two standard, no problem. Now landing in just about the weakest grade two you're ever going to get. Horse that ran a really good race actually in the Pendle as a novice last year over this course and distance too. Lots and lots to like about a horse at this price, considering as well that the favourite seems very, very short.
Yeah, can certainly see your case. He's 5-1 Beunibet now, of course, won the Rising Stars as well. So another sign that he likes this sort of condition. So Boom Bourne at 5-1 for Keith. Let's come to you, Ed. Odds on favourite here, with or against?
Against, and very similar to the thinking of Keith here, but I've gone for the other one, Master Chewy, at 13-2. If you fancy Boom Bourne, you've got to fancy Master Chewy, because he beat him. I mean, it was their first appearances of the year up at Aintree. Was it the old Rowan? But he gave him £3 and beat him. Obviously, he's got to give him £3 here. But he's been running in much harder races than this, I would suggest. The King George last time was 100-1 shot. I don't know why they ran him in the King George myself. But the time before that, they ran him in a race where I thought he might outrun his odds. He didn't. But that second at Aintree was a good performance. I just thought at the prices of around 7-1 that it was worth a chance. I do want to take on Edward Stone. I do want to take Calif de Burleigh. So Boom Bourne would have been my second chance. But I just think Master Chewy is a big price. I still think he's better than his form figures suggest. And the reason why I think that is I think he's probably quite often not run given his best circumstances. He might not get the ground on Saturday. Just don't know what the ground's going to be like if Kempton goes ahead. But yeah, I thought he was a big price.
Okay, Master Chewy at 6-1. Liam, two against the favourite. Are you going to be with?
No, it's three against him in this occasion. Similar to what Keith was saying, I mean, you know, made no bones about it. Calif de Burleigh is the class horse in the race, but he's not won over this 2.5 mile trip before. It is interesting the fact that we didn't see him anywhere near the class that we seen last season when he rocked up in the Haldon Gold Cup. And all of a sudden, he's going up in trip and, you know, going up substantially in trip as well. So I think Boom Bourne is there's value there for him, and there's a case, a brilliant case to make for him. And I thought he ran a great race at Haydock or in Aintree, sorry, the Orone. And I think a performance similar to that can see him run a great race and certainly take advantage of a very weak field. You know, he's also... very hot at this track. He's won two of his three. And I think he should appreciate any quick conditions as well. I know in the Peterborough Trace, it was, as it always is, seems to be at that time of year, it's very testing. And I think on a better service and the form that Skelton Yard is in, I think he's definitely worth taking advantage of the price he is at this stage.
Boom Bourne, two shouts for him. We're all against the favourite in the Grade Two. One more race at Kempton to look at, and I wonder if we are going to be signing up here because it's a hugely ultra competitive Coral Lanzarote handicap hurdle. And it's a Skeltons with the favourite here in Ape de Nom at 4-1. Lanesborough for Ben Pauling. We know what's happened at Kempton at him this season at 9-2. French Ship going a fine season, 11-2. Beat the Bat, 8-1. Just Enemy, a bit of money for this horse. He's 9-1, having been 10s. Came from nowhere at 9-1 as well. Fasol at 10s. Double powerful 14s. And Captain Teague, last one we'll mention, at 16-1. Liam, what's your selection here?
Just Enemy for Harry Derham. As you mentioned, James, it's a very hot race, and it's great to see. You know, there's chances for a lot of them. I just think this horse, I think Harry Derham clearly thinks a lot of him. He was one of those that went to the David Maxwell dispersal sales, and you know, fortunately for Harry, I spoke to him before the sale, and he was one of the horses he very much wanted to keep hold of. Obviously, you know, we know that he was returned to the yard for quite a big fee. But he's a very, he's still quite a young, he's a bit of a youngster still. Like he's, I think he's still only four, and he looks to have the talent there. He's obviously been working well at home. He had some decent form over hurdles in France. Well, I think he won 2 from 3. And I just think that, he's got this the sort of the profile to definitely improve on the run. I know he was, I think he finished third of three on his. He ran over fences at Haydock in last month. Didn't really go to plan. He was sent off favourite that day. So it's interesting that he's going back to hurdles so soon. But I just think, given what he produced in France, I think he's definitely got the talent to go well over that sphere. You know, he's still young, and I just think he can be a good chance of running a big race at a decent price.
Yep, he is 9-1. Of course, cost £320,000 at that David Maxwell dispersal sale, and of course overshadowed by El Kairos. But who knows just how good he might be? Just Enemy for Liam. Ed, what's your selection in the Lanzarote?
Well, first of all, we're going extra place, as you would expect. 17 runners in a top handicap, always difficult. So extra place with Unibet. I'm a big fan of Friendship. I've tipped him up twice on the podcast. I've backed him at Chepstow as well when he fell. He would have won that day as well. And I think he would have won anyway. And I was very much taken by the way he raced at Newbury. He was up with the pace and still found more at the end. So he's top weight though. And I love backing Nicky Henderson in this race. He's got such a good record. I know from talking to him over the years that he does pinpoint this race for a horse. I think I know he's won it four times. Last time was Burrow's Edge, but he ran Marie's Rock in it, if I remember rightly, who I think fell at the first or the second. And that went on to obviously perform better. Impostoire was a horse of his in the last running of this race, which came in 2024, when third off 1-3-4. And there's a sort of similar horse that I really like, Iberica Lord, whose form figures don't look good, but he's been mixing chasing, which he hates, with running over hurdles, and his handicap mark has come down as a consequence. So if you think back to the day he won the Betfair hurdle, that was off 1-3-4. He won the Unibet Greatwood off 1-2-6. He's back on 1-3-6. I know that Nicky loves this race. I'd be amazed if he hasn't pinpointed this horse for this race. And I just thought 25-1 with the extra place, Iberica Lord was worth a chancing. It is a chance because his form figures are terrible. But the stable does well. They've had another four places in this, as well as four wins from 34 runners this century. And I thought 25-1 was a fair crack of the whip, James, each way.
Okay, well, Iberico Lord for Ed, 22-1 now, so there's been a little bit of money for him for Nicky Henson train charge. Keith, got any thoughts on the Lanzarote?
The strong. I'm just surprised that Lanesborough's not been mentioned, really, up to now. I just thought he was going to the moon when he won it, Donny, last time. It's not a race that I've gone out of my way to watch normally, but anybody who...
Bob Stone, though.
Something good to do in the Monday morning. Yeah, he's gone up a stone, but he's but that's because he's a 140 horse. He's absolutely he's a very good horse. He's just a good horse. And so there's a Monday morning piece, things we learned from the weekend. The analysts get a go at telling us the big stories from the weekend, and Andrew Sherritt put this horse up as one to have a look at. So I thought, I'll give that a good look then. And God in heaven, he won as he liked. And obviously Willie the Builder, who was second, won at Kempton at the Desert Orchid meeting. So, you know, the form's had a boost, and he couldn't have won it easier. He's one of these horses that if he was 5-2, I wouldn't be shouting him down. So I thought Lanesborough was really interesting.
Yeah, certainly is. He's he's not 5-2. He's 9-2. So essentially a good bit of value there. Right. Join us after the break, where we'll be hearing those all important naps as well as selections from elsewhere.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out, you're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet, you're on.
Okay, and it's an exciting time because we have on Friday night the first Friday Night Live meeting on ITV. This is a project the Racing Post are supporting live on ITV. We've got, I think, 7 races and a big student population heading down to cold Wolverhampton. Fingers crossed it passes. Is it its inspection with some snow on the way? But Liam, a great initiative. We're going to have lots of young racegoers heading to Wolverhampton and enjoying this series. Great to support it. Give us a winner for it.
It's a great initiative, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. Obviously, we've seen great numbers attending other initiatives, and it's great to see that Racing are doing something to try and sort of bring in younger crowds and big crowds to events like this. It's a competitive card, as it should be for the prize money offer. In the 5:30, the 6 furlong handicap. Just call me Pete. He's on a bit of a roll for Tony Carroll, who again had a tremendous 2025. I think he surpassed the £1 million mark for the first time in his career as well. So this horse, he's an all-weather specialist, really. I mean, he's won 9 times, and he's won his last 3, so he's chasing this elusive 4-timer. He ran a close second at the track in October, and he's just been sort of slowly creeping up the handicap and doing really well. I think he can, he's not been winning by an awful lot in his races, but he's been showing that level of form to suggest he can run another big race. I know he won. He's won at the track before, and he I think he just can be, he's a decent price. He's about 9-1. And I think he can go well for a yard, sort of very much at the top of the game.
Yeah, a 4-timer on the cards. Just Call Me Pete runs in the 5:30. Ed, I believe you've got some more selections for Friday night for us as well.
Yeah, great to see this initiative. Many years ago, when I was president of Loughborough University Turf Society, we took people racing, and it was great. Since that day, I've still got people that own horses, and one's owned a very good horse. So whatever people say, it's great to get the youngsters involved. And, even if they don't watch every horse that's running, they get a feel and they understand the excitement about it. And it may not be every week, it may not be every month, it may not be every year, but they will come back and have a good feeling about racing, and you need to get a new audience. So it's a great initiative, and I hope it goes well for Don Matcham and everyone at Invades and at Wolverhampton. I have looked at the races, and I'm a big Heather Main fan. I really like her stable. Numitor won the Unibet Middle Distance Veterans Chase Series a couple of years ago, and I got to know her in the stable. And I know that they are targeting the all-weather in January, February and March, and hopefully try to get some of that prize money that's on offer. Just looking at their record, January, February, March, for the last 3 years, they've won 9 out of 38 races. Another 8 have been placed. An AE of 1.47, i.e. what that means is the horses are running exceptionally well, better than their odds suggest when they win. She's got Zulu Warrior in the 5 o'clock, who's 13-8, and Zulu Chief in the 5:30 at 4-1. Each way double beckons, James, and each way double, good old each way double. That's what I'll be having on both of them. When they are favourite or second favourite, that record even improves. It's 7 from 13. victories in January, February, March, when Heather Main has a favourite or second favourite in a handicap. So, you know, they target these races. I know from speaking to her at Sandown last weekend that she expects these horses to go well, both for one last time out. So they will be my selections for Wolverhampton on Friday. Hope the initiative goes well.
Yep, that's Zulu Warrior in the 5 o'clock and Zulu Chief in the 5:30, both top of the weights. Let's hope we can have some more winners because it's naps time. And Keith, kick us off. Your best bet on ITV this weekend is?
It is the Doyen Chief in the 205 at Kempton. This is a course and distance for him. One more chance.
One more chance indeed. Ed, we've been saying that plenty of times on the podcast. What's your Saturday nap, please?
Well, it's going to be a double for the Doyens because I'm going for Doyen Quest in the Hampton Court Novice Chase at Warwick at 152. Ran well at Sandown last time when runner-up, thinking go one better.
And Liam Head, your selection, please.
Just Enemy in the 317 at Kempton, the Lanzarote handicap hurdle for Harry Derham. This horse was purchased for $320,000 at the David Maxwell sales by Derham, and he's got some good form over hurdling. Didn't work over chasing last time out. So I think returning to hurdling will seem to better effect.
Yep, and I am going to go with a horse that's been mentioned on the show, Long Draw for the Murphy and Bowen team. This horse clearly could save his best. I definitely think he's miles better than his mark. He impressed me. He's been in my tracker since he won so well at Cheltenham in April last year. He's got his ground. As for now, we'll see what the weather does, but hopefully he can continue a good season for our champion jockey. Thank you very much to our panellists. That is, if you're watching along in the top right, Liam Head, bottom left, Keith Melrose, and bottom right, Ed Nicholson from Unibet. Do make sure to rate, review, and subscribe if you're a fan of our content. Don't miss any shows in that all-important build-up to the Cheltenham Festival in March. But there's a lot to look forward to before then, including next week, where it's the Clarence House Chase at Ascot. We'll be previewing that show on our usual slot at Thursday at 7 o'clock. So until then, have a great weekend. Enjoy the racing. Keep your fingers crossed for those inspections. Goodbye. And as always, gamble responsibly.